Right, you're welcome along to the football pod. 17th of May, all the provincial finals are done and dusted. They've all been fun in one way or another. I'm in Clonus. I'm in, my colleagues in Ulster GA have wired me up to the internet here. I'm hoping it holds together. Paddy, you're away at the minute. You managed to escape the Westmeath celebrations when they win their second ever Leinster title against Dublin.
You only booked the flight after the game.
Just landed in Mallorca here now. Yeah, time difference. So I was watching on my phone earlier on. It was a good game. Both these games were a lot better than I thought they'd be. But tough day at the office for the Dubs. But unbelievable scenes. You said it last week. The provincial championship lads, they just keep on delivering. Unbelievable.
They have been unbelievable, James. You got the experience, Killarney last week, and I suppose nearly a full house for Kerry and Cork, but a proper atmosphere. I was in the Hyde. Yeah. Again, I was here as Armagh won their first in 18 years in a crazy game after extra time. But I think we have to start with, you decide, James, where we start, because you've been kind of having an overview on the whole day today. Where do we go?
Yeah, I had a long day. Those two games going to extra time. Oh, there's a different fitness in watching the matches back to back. I'm more of a one at a time kind of guy, but the Dublin game, we'll have to start there. The Dublin-Westmeath game, we'll have to start there because it's an incredible story, you know, for Westmeath. Second ever. I mean, the last time they won it, the only time they won it was when Paddy O'Shea was in charge. Like, that's just unbelievable. Like, you know, that reminds me so much of growing up and falling in love with football around that time.
Hey, Jimmy, you love an old documentary, Marooned. Did you ever see that documentary? Yeah RTE did it.
That was a grain of rice and tip the scale.
Yeah, an incredible. I remember I was at that game when they beat Dublin. They beat Dublin in the quarterfinal. Desi Dolan. It was unbelievable. Dennis Glennon as well. And that was their last one 22 years ago. And look, lads, we did a Leinster preview. What was it? Maybe 6 weeks ago. Not one of us was there for Westmeath. I think we'd all. It was Dublin, Meath, Louth. No one even mentioned Westmeath. And here we are 6 weeks later, similar to the Rossi story in Connacht and very nearly Monaghan's as well. The year of the underdog and the provincials outside of your neck of the woods, Jimmy. But it was a brilliant game. Monsters. It was an entertaining game, I have to say.
How has Mark McHugh guided Westmeath to the 2026 Leinster title?
He's done an unbelievable job, Tommy. Like, the brand of football they play is second to none. Like, if you think about their backs, they're so tenacious, up the forwards, backside, like hands in, celebrating turnovers, all the good stuff that you want that maybe McHugh has brought down from Donegal, all that tenacious defending. But then their wing backs are bombing on. Obviously, they're holding the centre-back position, but their midfielders want to bomb on. And then up front, they just play with such freedom and abandon in attack, which is just so nice to see. Like, today, I thought their mid-late was phenomenal, right? But the half-forward line, Kevin O'Sullivan at 10.
Brilliant.
The amount of times he got them out of trouble, and sometimes it happens with teams in Division 2 and 3 when they come up against a strong Division 1 team, they get caught in their own half-back line or kind of midfield. Every time he got it, he put the afterburners on, took one, two men on, and got them out of trouble. And even more so, which is a coaching thing, I think, for Mark McHugh, when they did run down the line, maybe on the sideline, there was always a diagonal run being from the other side for a kick pass, and they were out. And, like, that does not happen by accident. It's unbelievably hard training, legs, fitness, conditioning, but also game smartness, game cuteness, and ability to be able to take on your man. I thought he was brilliant. Sam McCartan must have absolutely blown the GPS off the charts. I've never seen a man cover as much ground. And then even in extra time, he was just pounding the ground and like sprinting, driving the game forward. I thought Westmeath were brilliant in the coaching point of view and individually. And then the bench kicked in at a time when Dublin looked around. I think Dean Rock, whoever's making the decisions, looked around and they just did not have any fresh legs to bring in. Whereas Westmeath brought on Senan Baker and John Heslin. And Baker had a performance that anybody will be proud of. Like left foot, right foot, dink ups, finishing under pressure, making the very difficult shots look easy. He just had a brilliant day. And then Heston obviously comes on and gets that brilliant two-pointer in extra time, gets another one, I think. But the thing about Heston was that he actually picked up a lot of breaks just from being smart. You know, he didn't have to, you know, go in and throw his head in there. He was just in the right place at the right time, just pure experience and knowledge of the game. And he picked up a load of handy ball.
Quite seamlessly, Jimmy, didn't he? Like having that.
Yeah.
Like, literally, it's not like he came back in like a Michael Murphy and had the year training with him. He was on GAA Plus like last week, you know. And I was like, where are they going to play him? And he's like, well, obviously they're going to play him if it's got this much coverage. And even listen to Mark McHugh afterwards, like, talk about how highly he's regarded, as we know, within Westmeath. But to come back in and have the impact, like you say, like he's been around, getting loads of possessions, the two-pointer as well. He has one moment. He should have killed the game at normal time, but he gets through.
Yeah.
Maybe that was a little bit of rustiness. It was kind of like he was trying to work the goal, which is admirable, but just tap that one over and go 4 points up. And Dublin were on. We're hanging on by their fingernails at that stage. The game should have been gone, really, by that point. But you nail on the head, Jimmy. Like we said all season, like, that Dublin bench was going to be a problem in games like this. I didn't think they'd get their feet back this early in the championship. I thought this type of performance, where they just run out of gas and they're just overrun, would happen in maybe an All Ireland quarter final or maybe a semi final. But it's a credit to Mark McHugh and Westmead. You mentioned, like, Seddon Baker. Jesus Christ, what a performance for the ages coming off the bench. Dublin don't have anyone in that sort of level, or I don't know, just skill level and just confidence to come in. Brandon Kelly, another young player. Like Westmead have won four games in the Leinster Championship. What a way to win a Leinster Championship. Beat Mead, beat Kildare, beat Dublin. But Brandon Kelly's been one of the stars of the show with Andy Youngflint. This is all without Luke Loughlin as well, who's been missing for the last two games as well. So it was a game where Smead should have won in normal time, and then they absolutely blew Dublin away in extra time. And the goal at the last minute to win it by eight was probably a fair reflection on the game. On Dublin's side of things, even though they went 5 points up early in the second half, and they thought, okay, they probably need a lead like that because there's not the cavalry coming over the hill. A big moment with Pat O'Coughlin-Byrne going off early. Dublin were dominated around the middle. Ray Kalettle had an unbelievable performance, and there's a guy who, like, talk about absolutely deserves a Leinster Championship medal. But losing Patter was just an issue at the time around the middle, but it also meant Dublin had to bring in Luke Brannock, you know, who didn't have a good day today. You mentioned it, Jimmy. Charlie Drum was phenomenal for Westmead at full-back. Just tenacity, one-on-one defending. But Luke Brannock would have been... You know, that's someone Dino was looking over the shoulder going, here's where we might get scores off the bench. It just didn't happen for him. And outside of that, Dublin are looking around. Like, no disrespect here, but you look at the finishing Dublin team in extra time, like, that is where they're at. It's, when you look at that, those guys that were on the pitch at the end, you know, we're talking about, this is not a Dublin of previous iterations. And Westmead were full value for it. You know, that's the 1-8. They could have won by more. They should have won by more in normal time. But they had all the energy, all the running, all the confidence in their play. You know, Cannell and Brian Cooney in midfield absolutely dominated Dublin. And it's an incredible story for Westmead. Tops off what the Rossies did last week. Brilliant, brilliant stories in the provincial championships. And it's incredible for Mark McHugh and those players and those supporters. We were at the Leinster final last year, Tommy. Everyone expected it to be a massive occasion. A smaller crowd today, but those Westmead fans that travelled up, they believed. And it's a brilliant day for them, but a tough, tough day for Dublin.
I'll be driving home from Clonus this evening, back to Clare after I get the pod uploaded. I may just accidentally have to stay over in Mullingar with my cousins in Moat later tonight. The Fitzpatrick's outside their Castle Daly, actually, not Moat. But, like, second ever Leinster title. Like, talk about heroes being made in that group. James, you mentioned a little earlier before, Paddy, the half-back line as much as the half-forward line. They got nine points from Matthew Whitaker, Shane Allen, who hit a two-pointer, and Ronan Wallace, who hit three from play. Like, the manner in which, you mentioned Sam McCartan, but the manner in which that line of the field drove Westmead on was huge.
Yeah. Like, Whitaker got an unbelievably important two-pointer in the second half when they were just coming and... they needed a big moment and he gave it to them. And you could tell McHugh turned and he just gave it on the sideline. He gave it a fist bump. He knew that was a big moment.
That got them back level, Jimmy, did it? I think was that for 15-0? Because Dublin had started the second half reasonably well.
Yeah.
Westmeath started third in the screw and that was it. Like, he could have carried it on, but he backed himself to take the two-pointer on the arc and it just dropped over. It was a big moment. And Ronan Wallace was... You know, he's been doing that for 10 years, just running up and down the pitch, punching holes. And they just overran them, Jimmy, didn't they?
Yeah. In fairness to Ronan Wallace, I thought he showed great leadership because he missed a few and he kept kicking. Like, he didn't say, maybe I'll shirk the next one or whatever. He kept on and on. And he ended up with three, I think, like three unbelievably important scores. So he was a big leader all day. And Shane Allen, he gets the two-pointer in the first half when I think the advantage was given and he throws an absolute haymaker. But another great score. Do you know, obviously it's all about Westmeath, but in terms of Dublin, I think Dublin fell into the trap again of what Donegal did against Down. Now, I say trap, it's not a trap. It's obviously something that happens very easily, but they didn't come out of the blocks fast enough, right? If you're thinking you're a Division 3 player, now, those Westmeath players are better Division 3 players. I'm not going to insult them by saying that. But they didn't get out of Division 3. They're in a Leinster final for the first time in a while. They'll be nervous, right? Dublin needed to come out and be slick and be on the front foot and actually take their chances. And they were sloppy, slow, and missed all around them. And next thing, Westmeath just started again to say, we absolutely belong here. We're just as good as these fellas. And they were. But once they gave them that little bit of an ease in, like, you could imagine the Westmeath fellas there, their heart must have been bursting out of their chest for the first 5 minutes. That's the time where you can maybe make a bit of a dent in them. It's the one weakness that Westmeath would have had going into the game. But Dublin just did not get firing at all. And you give them a little bit of credit from being four down or three or four down very late in the day to drag it back and actually get a draw. But that's the only bit of credit, really, I could give them. Apart from that, they just did not have enough quality at all on the field.
Look, there's an interesting one here. I know from chatting to Mark McHugh over the years that one of his big things as a manager is hard work and it's running. And he has this line and he always says, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think anyone's ever died from running too much on a football field. And he said it a couple of times now in post-match interviews. And I can imagine he's driving that message home in training. Not that he's trying to break fellas, but maybe that Jim McGuinness school of thinking from the start of the decade where they totally dogged fellas. And I have a DM in here from a Westmeath, former Westmeath footballer. I'm not going to mention him by name because he hasn't given me the thumbs up yet. But he said the fitness of the Westmeath lads was the biggest difference watching today. Yeah. They blew Dublin out of the water an extra time. It's some bunch of young men. And especially without their out-and-out star player. You three boys may come to Mullingar next.
Yeah, obviously...
Comments on that. Comments on the fitness. Because maybe watching on with energy and momentum, maybe, I don't know, but like, what did you feel looking at it? Because Westmeath just kept mowing them down.
I 100% thought that, especially through Kevin O'Sullivan and Sam McCartan. I was like, these fellas just can't stop running. Like, McCartan was up and down in top of both Ds for the whole game. Obviously made some mistakes, but God, I'm not surprised the amount of ground he covered. And they all did. And Dublin just looked absolutely gassed. But that's my point. I think that Dublin should have been sleeker when everyone was fresh. They just didn't start the game well enough and Westmeath just powered on. But I don't think it's like a sack the manager situation. I wouldn't even blame DeJure Brennan being banned. It's just that Dublin don't have the quality of player that they had. I mean, there was a couple of times they were in front of the goals for hand passes over the bar and they hand passed them wide or they juggled the ball. And to see a fella from Dublin, when obviously in our mind, Dublin are so high quality, the standard has just dropped. And Westmeath were there to punish. They put themselves in the position to punish. And Westmeath's quality was so bloody high. Like every time they got a chance, they took it, they scored it, left foot, right foot, all the right decisions. Absolutely deserved winners, and I'm delighted for them.
It's incredible, really. John Heston was speaking afterwards to the press, And he said, I'm the luckiest man to have been involved in this. When Mark McHugh and Jamie Gannoud called me, I just wanted to come in and help the lads. And a month ago, I couldn't have imagined this happening. I just wanted to come in and give a bit of a boost. The lads couldn't have been any more welcoming. I didn't know whether I play 5 minutes or no minutes today. It's been unique to get to enjoy the buzz of training again and getting back to the pace of it. And this was just a total team effort. My heart goes out today to all the lads who I soldiered with that didn't get over the line or get a medal. I know I'm in a very privileged position to be here today, and I can't wait to get home and see the supporters in Mullingar later. John Heston was part of that Westmeath team in 2015 and 16, Paddy, that came up against the behemoth of your own team at the time that were on the way to win five All-Irelands in a row.
Six.
Six All-Irelands in a row, apologies. A very talented group of Westmeath footballers that never got over the line. But there's been so many Westmeath footballers in the last 100-odd years that haven't got over the line. Like, this is unbelievable for this young group, because it is a young group that Mark McHugh has.
Yeah, it is incredible, and nobody seen this one coming. And we said it after they beat Meath, which was one of the big shocks of earlier in the championship, kind of overshadowed by them beating Donegal, but that was a massive win for Westmeath. And we're kind of looking going, they were beaten with the last kick of the game for Wexford, basically, to pip them for promotion. And Mark McHugh was out with us last year. This was a massive, massive goal for that Westmeath group to get promoted into Division 2. They're better than Division 3 team. You said it, Jimmy. Clearly, they've demonstrated that over the last month as well. But a moment like that can derail a season. Potentially might be playing in the Tailteann Cup. You know, potentially that's where it brings in for a county like Westmeath. A lot of young players go, well, we might go away to the States for the summer. Or the whole thing can go pear-shaped very, very quickly with a sucker punch like they got on the last day of the National League down at Wexford Park. And to that group, to turn it around, to beat Meath, with Hammer Longford the first day out, then to beat Meath, then Kildare, and then come up and beat Dublin today. It's one of the stories of the summer. And you can't give enough credit to Mark McHugh and the players themselves. Because Mark McHugh believes in a hard-running style of play. He won an All-Ireland off the back of that. Of course he does. His greatest moment in his sporting life, outside of, his personal life with his kids and all that stuff, in his sporting life, was winning the All-Ireland in 2012 under Jim McGuinness's training regime, which was savage. So when he goes and coaches a team, he's got to bring that to that group of players. That's what he believes in, because it's worked for him. And he's just doubling down on it. And for those players they would have had to do that training, the sacrifices, all of that stuff they would have had to do over the last 6, 8, 9 months. You get the reward for it today. You see the scenes. We seen it last year with Loud and their moment, Tommy. We were both there. I would have been there today, only just been away with the family. But I wanted Dublin to win. Of course I did. But as a GAA fan, you look at what Westmeath have produced there, the scenes with the supporters for those players, the younger players, but also like Heslin, who would have played against us for years. Ray Kalilla read a quote after the match today, was it 4 or 5 years ago, and said, you may forget about the Leinster Championship for the next 10 years. Here's a brilliant, unbelievable footballer. We'll play in pretty much any county in Ireland, and stuck at it. Again, easily could have hung up the boots, bad injuries and things like that. But you get a moment like that today, he was outstanding. And it's just, I'm disappointed for Dublin. Obviously, I want Dublin to win and be successful. But as a GAA supporter, you look at what was produced there today, and it's an incredible story for them. And it was just the style that you said it, Jimmy, the style they play, it's good to watch. We said it, the racking up the goals they were getting against Longford, Meath, again against Kildare, they probably should have won a bit more convincingly, and they definitely should have won more convincingly today. But what a moment for that team and that group of players. And it's like what we seen last week with the Rossies. It warms the soul as a GAA supporter to see scenes like that.
Mark McHugh was talking afterwards. It's another side of his management. And just building on what Paddy's saying, another side of his management was the decision to bring back John Heston. And even the decision in the group, right? Because, look, John Heston's a legend and we know what he can do. So maybe it wasn't that tough a decision. But McHugh was chatting to Jonathan Higgins afterwards. Sorry, he just got distracted there. All the Armagh boys are after coming out of the dressing room with Kieran McGeaney with the Anglo-Celt Cup, and they're all getting a photograph just down here beneath me here at the minute in Clonus. And we'll come back to them in a minute. But McHugh was talking to Jonathan Higgins. He said, John Heston scored 3-11 and 2-9 in recent club games. I don't think there's a manager who wouldn't want to bring him in. He wasn't just coming in for the final. And if I'm still here with Westmeath next year, I hope he's playing again. He'll have to now. There's something special in that too, the ability to convince a fella to come back in and give it, put his neck on the line for his county.
There is, and it was an inspired call because it's not like they stumbled into this final. Like, Westmeath have earned it, deserve to be there, have had three huge results in the competition in this provincial championship already. So it was a brave call to maybe, you know, put him in and give him good game time as well. Like, it took courage. It was a great decision, and obviously Heston repaid the faith. But I mean, you're talking about an all time great for Westmeath. You know, like, we played against him in 2012, and I remember he was sensational, like in a championship game in Westmeath. So, like, looking back now, it's a no brainer. You're like, this fella is absolutely lighting up at home. But at the same time, it's, you know, you've earned your place in the final already. It's not like he came in for the first round. He didn't come back till the final. So that side of the decision was brave, and you'd have to give him great credit for making that call. But just on the game, right? I think that Pat O'Coffey Burns' injury actually had a big factor in the game, because Dublin could not compete aerially at all. Like, Westmeath were hoovering up all the breaks. They were attacking the ball far more aggressively. Dublin were just sitting ducks. And that's how Heston actually got into the game himself. He just worked his way around the breaks, got a couple of handy balls. Next thing, he was in the game. He was back. Do you know, you need those couple of possessions just to get yourself back up and running. And then when he gets his chances to shoot, he's always going to take him with his sheer class. But that was something that just got Kinnellan back in the game as well, with O'Coffey Byrne having that shoulder injury.
It was massive, Jimmy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, Dublin, looking at Dublin side of things, they haven't got, they've no depth. They're struggling at midfield as it is. Pat has been injured earlier in the campaign. We've seen the struggles at midfield through the league and the relegation. You know, he's got something that no one else in that Dublin squad has, which is just sheer physique and size, which we see is so important under these rules. You know, Evan Comerford has had an up and down year in goal. Tough day again today. But Patter, and just taking him out of that for the direct impact, like, Dublin were wiped at midfield then after that. But also, like I say, they had to roll out Luke Brannock straight away, who was kind of, without Conn, you know, God, we don't know when he's going to be back. And the same thing now, coming into, is Conn going to be back for the layout match? Like, Dublin just don't have depth to deal with injuries, and they're particularly light at midfield. And you look at this, the story of their campaign and this game. Good second quarter to push themselves into the lead, start becoming a bit more clinical, get a good start to the second half and get their nose in front, but they just run out of puff. And there was just not people coming off them. But teams are running at them, and this is where Lough just didn't get up to a gallop in the Leinster semi-final. Westmeath, one thing they took from that game was, like, fucking push up on Dublin. Do not allow Niall Scully and Sean Bogart and Kieran Kenny, who all had good games today, but don't give them them. Don't pay them the respect that Lough did, but they basically just cruised through the match. Westmeath got in their faces, and when Dublin kind of started running out of gas around 50 minutes, there's the quality is just not coming off the pitch. And that is going to be the story of Dublin season. Like I said, I thought it would be maybe against the Kerry or a Donegal or an Armagh or a Galway in a quarterfinal or semi-final, but it's happened today, and it's not really for changing. You know, the bright spark maybe in Dublin season was maybe winning the Leinster Championship. That's gone now, obviously. Realistically, what can they do in the All-Ireland Series? It's, you can't get away with not having that quality and experience coming off the bench that Dublin just didn't really have today. And it's been like that all season, I'm afraid.
Yeah, do you know, like, in fairness to Dublin, they actually defended okay when the game was slow, right? But Tommy, you asked a question a couple of weeks ago. Say, why are we getting these results where maybe teams down the divisions are beating the Division 1 teams? It's because the teams in Division 3 attack with purpose and swagger and confidence, and actually with trying to score. The amount of slow attacks. But the amount of slow attacks in Division 1, where both teams, it's like basketball. So, right, get your 13 behind the ball or 11, and we'll attack now. Whereas the Division 3 teams are saying, no, we have enough ability to go fast. And when Westmeath attacked slowly, they were actually very kind of, they were just held up very easy. They didn't look like they had that quality. But as soon as they put a bit of pace in the attack, they're different. They're a different level. And Dublin didn't have the defenders to challenge them. No. And that's going to be Westmead's goal now going forward. Can we, two things, keep our pace and attack as high as possible, because we have a quality footballer that can play at that level. And also, when teams do slow us down, can we probe a bit better, because it wasn't as effective today.
Yeah. And I suppose those slow attacks at certain times of games, and I think you're on the money with your answer there on the lower ranked teams closing the gap on the Division 1 teams, because we've kind of identified that over the last couple of weeks and months, that they all do kind of attack the same way, the Division 1 teams. Yeah. But is John Heston going to inspire a lot of fellas around the country to just turn up for 6 weeks of training or 1 week of training and swing over a couple of two-pointers and get back into the mix? James O'Donoghue, any chance of an owl come back yourself?
Yeah, I was supposed to be lots back of this word week, about but he's inspired Conor me to go back next played. Week.
Yeah, Conor McManus got plagued here in Clonus, but he didn't bring the boots with him today. But I think there is a lot to be said for what John Heston has managed to do. And when we get to the second game here, the second provincial final, the manner in which Rory Grugan uses Nongan in the second half of extra time, or the first half of extra time, he used what was between his ears, you know. But even just to knit things together, and clearly physically he's not 100% yet. But he has it upstairs. And I think if fellas have it upstairs, it can go a long way in a football game today. I think that's the Armagh team bus just pulling out of Clonus at the minute. It feels a little rushed to be leaving Westmead now and Dublin now, but have we any more to say on it? Like, Dublin now have to go out and play Loud in 2 weeks' time. A Loud team they've already taken apart. A Loud team that have so much to play for now that they've allowed their Leinster title go so easily in Portlaoise. That's going to be a tricky game for Dublin. Any more you want to say about the Dubs at the moment?
Petty, I'll leave the last word on the Dubs to you, baby.
Every game is going to be tricky now. Like, we're into the All-Ireland series. They're not one of the favourites for it. Their flaws have been highlighted on numerous occasions throughout the season. There was maybe calm coming back. This is the same fucking stuff over and over again for the last 3 years. Like, that obviously makes them a better team, but where realistically can that Dublin team get to in the All-Ireland series? It's just quality of the squad that they need to have to compete to get into All-Ireland semi-finals or finals is not there. For the 1 millionth time, I'm saying that. And today was the latest example of it. For periods of the game, really good, but it's not periods of the game we're playing at here. You know, 15, 20 minutes of good stuff is not going to get it done. You know, Howard was good. Kieran, we know what he can do, and he's just unbelievable character to keep fighting. Scully, again, playing some of the best football he's played in years, but outside of that, they're too easy to play against. They're short at midfield, they're short on their own kick-out, they're short on the opposition kick-out, they're not overly clinical up front, their skill execution is just seems to be getting lower and lower every time we see them, and they're capable of one-off performances, like we've seen against Loud. But let's not kid ourselves there either, lads. This Leinster Championship, it's really competitive and it's exciting for the first time in years. But quality-wise, Dublin performed really well against the Division 2 team in Loud, and they've been beaten by Division 3 team today. You'll see where the Leinster teams perform in the All-Ireland series. It's not the best province. It's exciting to watch on an insular basis for the first time in years, but the quality is just stark. We'll see it. Like, we're all in Killarney next weekend to watch the Kerry and Donegal, and the speed and skill execution and intensity of those games, it's nearly like a different level. No, not to rain on anyone's parade, but to what we would have seen over the last couple of weeks in the Leinster Championship. It's not great for them going forward, is the summation of that.
I think it's a fair point. We should be all in Clarny next weekend, but O'Donoghue has taken an ill-timed holiday. He's jetting off tomorrow, I believe.
You're not talking about it, Jimmy. You're not. Okay, so we're in the order.
We'll be camping in the back garden at the Kilcommon Road. Yeah, two little ones, right? You mentioned the Bakers earlier, Tygan Sennon and Sennon's performance. The sons of an All-Ireland winner with Clare and Ollie Baker. A very interesting kind of link there. And then Mark McHugh, managing Westmead to a Leinster football title at, I think, 35 years of age. And you go back to 1997 and his father, Martin McHugh, doing the same thing in his 30s. Jeez, he was 36. He was 36 in 97 when he guided Cavan to a first title in 28 years. Like, lads, what an incredible achievement from the two McHughs. Like, that is just...
unbelievable.
That's magic, really, isn't it? Like, the happiness you're bringing to a group of people there.
Like, the responsibility to take a team at 35. Like, honestly, I wouldn't take... I'm thinking I nearly wouldn't be able to take another 14 team or 12s. He's taking on inter-county team.
You should do a fail a team next year.
He's taking on Westmeath and delivered a Leinster title. It is a sensational story. And honestly, he's a sound fella and he's football oozing out of his veins.
Football mad. Football mad. And, you have to be like that. But that's after a couple of years with the Rossies as well. Okay, not the main man with the Rossies, but the impact he made there. And you said it, Jimmy, football mad. You're coaching at any level, but particularly inter-county, you have to be obsessed. Obsessed.
Yeah.
And
I think
you get the rewards when you're... So it's a credit. It's their day. It's Mark McHugh's day and the Westmeath supporters and those players. Loads of people, the managers and supporters get credit and all this. Those players have put in the shift, not just today, but to be able to play at that level, the work they've done over the last 6 months. They should enjoy it. They've Cavan in a couple of weeks down in Mullingar as well. So not the worst draw for them, the All-Ireland series.
It's tricky. And I don't think they'll be thinking about Cavan for about a week. Okay, you're listening to the Football Pod with Paddy Anders, James Dunhu, and Tommy Rooney. I'm just going to mention, we're not going to get into it tonight because we're getting back to the Ulster final and I got to hit the road afterwards. But Down got back in the horse at the weekend in the Tatchin Cup, a 127-16 point win against Leitrim. Leitrim down a couple of bodies. Barry McNulty was obviously out and a few other key players injured. Down were kept him at arm's length for a fair bit of the game. Rory McCormick, the Warren Point player, come off the bench in the second half. He scores 1-3 off the bench. Daniel Guinness got an early two-pointer to settle them down in the second half, and they kind of pulled away from there. So that's Down progressing to the next round. Leitrim go into round 2B at the Tatchin Cup, Down into round 2A. We're going to be back in just a moment talking about what unfolded in front of me here in front of a sellout in St. Tiernach's Park in Clonus. The Ulster final, Armagh finally winning an Ulster title. Back in a moment.
OTB GAA.
Fellas, I don't know if you've ever experienced an Ulster final in the flesh. I got to do so today for the first time. And I very nearly made the mistake of not going down to the Market Square in Clonus before the game. It was thronged with people. Forget about describing a cattle mart. Forget about coppers at 3 a.m. in the morning. This place was just absolutely bananas. People just caught together. There was thousands and thousands of people in the town. The whole place is shut down on Ulster final day. It really is incredible. And the best thing about it is there's so many little rat runs in and out of Clonus, so many little back roads that you can get into and get in and out. So it's kind of perfect for a day like today. 32,000 people. And I think the best thing about it was whether you were wearing blue and white for Monaghan or orange for Armagh, you had a bit of hope. You had a bit of expectancy and you had a bit of fear with your team today, and I think that's all you can really look for in a game like this. And Armagh eventually got the job done. What was your reading on this game?
I thought, well, you were there, so I'll leave you speak on it in a while, but Monaghan started very well and then Armagh settled and Armagh dominated kind of the first 10 minutes, probably dominated the rest of the first half. Connaughty was buzzing around the place. He was kicking points for fun. I think Monaghan got their matchup wrong there. I think it was Ryan O'Toole on him for the majority of that time, Tom. It looked like a mistake.
And it's a good point, James, but O'Toole ends up on Mernon, on Oisin O'Neill. And I think that probably speaks to the lack of man markers maybe Monaghan had. I don't think they had someone who could tag.
But I've
Oisin
even
Connaughty.
Been in that
he
situation
was devastated.
Myself. As a forward, say physically, I'd have been small. When you see a fella who's kind of big and burly coming over to you, you are thinking, oof, this is a chance here. You know, if I get one off the shoulder, he's not going to be able to stop me. So Connaughty, I think Connaughty, his eyes lit up. And he actually did damage in that first half that they couldn't quite get back.
Remember the score when Armada turned over? Tiernan Kelly releases it down the line with a left footed kick pass.
Yeah.
And it's Connaughty and O'Toole under the Gerry Arter stand. And Connaughty just takes him off. how do you, like, Connolly just, I think it's his fifth point, but it was just, I don't think there was any stopping him, you know?
But that's football. Kick pass into a fella at pace, takes on his man, cuts back in, puts it over the bar. Literally the definition of it, and we don't see enough of it. But I thought Armagh were solid, kind of in control of the game constantly until Monaghan really needs something. That's actually one observation I have about Monaghan recently. They're the most clutch team I reckon I've ever seen. With Began, McCarron, Shane O'Hanlon, Conor McCarthy. If they need a score... Stephen O'Hanlon. If they need a score, they're getting it, right? But I reckon sometimes when they need to keep the scoreboard tipping over, they don't. You know, they settle back into their defensive unit and kind of take a bit of a beating for 10 or 15 minutes. And then when they need a score, they have so much quality, so much ability. They scored some great scores. They're just so clutch. And it proved itself again today. But in the end, I think that Armagh, look, they've been there three finals in a row, two on penalties, one in extra time. Today was their day. Like, they needed to win this. They deserved to win it. They just came out on top. And in the end, they ended up blowing away in the second half. And it kind of came down to that kick out, didn't it? Where Began kicks it out. And it was that wet, horrible day where you don't really take it with confidence. And I think he went to do a Mike Frank pickup where you kind of slide into it. And that's
so hard.
With a fella breathing down your neck when you're wrecked and you're nervous, and it just goes back in, and they put it in the back of the net, and that was kind of it. But an unbelievable game, and credit to Monaghan. The turnaround in their season. Like, halfway through the league, we were thinking, what is going to happen with Monaghan this year? Are they...
The end of the league, Jimmy, where they lost all seven.
Yeah, from the middle to the end, where they were really, really up against it. Even for them to kind of bring themselves back and give themselves some hope, to even just get to an acceptable level this year, to come back into an Ulster final and put themselves in within 20 seconds of winning it, it says a lot about the personality and the team ethic they have. So I would take my hats off to them, but I think today was Armagh's day, and their time had come after the last 3 years.
I was chatting to Rory Grugan afterwards. Finally an Ulster champion. Like, the heartbreak that they had. I know they win in All-Ireland in the middle of it, but the heartbreak they've endured.
Yeah.
It's incredible that five Ulster finals have gone to extra time in a row, but four of them have been Armagh. Three of them lost, two on penalties. We know this. But you could just see in the celebrations of the group, like, yes, they have an All-Ireland title there, but this will bond them even more, this Ulster title together. Like, and I don't know, Paddy, can it push them on to possibly challenge for an All-Ireland now in the new rules? They're right in the mix.
I mean, they're definitely All-Ireland contenders, whether they won today or not, work they put in. Do you know, just for a group that have been knocking on the door for so long, they haven't won enough. Like, silverware. You do look back on your career and go, okay, we had a brilliant team for these three or four or five seasons. You look at, like, Monaghan's great teams and the two or three Ulster titles they won while they were competing for All-Irelands. That Armagh team have been right there in the mix for 5 or 6 years. Let's say 5 years. And no real National League titles. They won the All-Ireland. They won the biggest prize, ultimately, but no Ulster championships, and have been so close over, as you've said, well-documented all week, the build-up to this game. They hadn't won one in 18 years. So just for that group to try and just start amassing some trophies there, maybe a couple of McKenna Cups, maybe a National League title, maybe a couple of more Anglo-Celts, and maybe tag on another All-Ireland title. That makes you a dynasty of a team. They're looking back at the great Armagh team of the 90s. They only won one All-Ireland. I think they won, seven Ulster titles. They had the other way around. So it's just for that group to just get their hands on a bit of silverware, having been so close. It is important for the dynamic of the group, just the confidence of the group, just validation going. They work as hard as any team. You know, I've seen them up close two or three times this season. The intensity they play at when they're at the best, the transition play. They're a serious, serious outfit. And today, I'd be interested, Tommy, to kind of hear the preamble to the game being in Clonus, because, you know, a lot of people thought this was going to be a comfortable win for Armagh. You know, I expected, I was surprised watching this going, Jesus Christ, I know Monaghan have balls of steel and he can't write them off and all that good stuff, but I was still going, am I going to win this game with 10 points? You know, and then it gets down the stretch again and they're going to not blow it again because Monaghan were just, they had all the momentum, but it's just to finally get over the line with it. It gives them that they've Derry in the All-Ireland series. They'll enjoy tonight as much as maybe as Westmead and the Rossies over the last 2 weekends as well. It means a lot to that group and their supporters, but it just gives them more confidence going into the All-Ireland series. And yeah, they're absolutely right in the mix. Their game is made for Croke Park in the All-Ireland series. They are going to be, nobody wants to play them. Nobody wants to play them over the next 6 weeks.
In fairness to Monaghan as well, Tommy, like we always talk about quality. Some of the scores they kicked, like McCarron comes on, gets that worldie of a two-pointer and gets another beautiful one-pointer with the left from the left. We love that kick on this show. And Stephen O'Hanlon, like, stood up time and time again, getting some inspirational scores. Tough scores. And same with Conor McCarthy, taking men on at pace, off balance, and still chipping them over at important times. Like, there's so many positives to take from Monaghan. Obviously, it's heartbreak, but the quality they showed was of a very high level. And that's all without Desi Ward for the second half, who obviously got that knock and had to go off. That was a huge loss for them.
Desi, unfortunately, well, I saw him going out with a crutch after the game. We don't obviously know how bad it is, but, you know, you could be going off with a, I don't know. Hopefully it's not too bad because he's such an important player for him.
Being around down in Clonus, was there genuine, are my fans nervous or were they going in there totally expecting to win this game? Or were Monaghan fans coming in being like, okay, it's in Clonus and the incredible victory to come back against Derry, but was there genuine expectation that they could win this thing?
All anyone felt and said, and I went on the record before the game with Enda McNulty and Conor McManus.
Seen that, yeah.
A replay after extra time, I was a little bit off it, but all anyone felt and said was that if Monaghan were in it down the stretch, that was it. That's all Monaghan needed to be. And like, call it what you want. What is in it down the stretch under the new rules? Like, against Derry, it was 10 or 11 points.
This
week was six. And all it needed, like, and it was a weird moment. I was covering the game with Kieran Hughes from Scotstown, and, you know, a man who'd have magic in his boots as well and would be able to deliver the spinners and distance. But we watched Ryan O'Toole curl over a brilliant score at a stage in the second half when Monaghan needed one. And the crowd didn't respond. It's like they're spoiled in Monaghan. And unless it's a two-pointer, they're not going to get up off their feet. By God, when McCarron checked back in and curled over that beauty. And do you know what? It was a kind of a loop where it went up in the air, but you didn't need to wait for a flag because McCarron turned and he turned to the crowd and he immediately got them into it. I just love this because I think this has developed more so in the last couple of months, maybe with the two-pointers and goals. Players are really playing up the crowds and they're really getting them going because they know how important that energy is. And Monaghan just kind of dominated that 10 minutes and it looked like Armad ran out of total energy. And speaking to Kieran McGeaney afterwards, he said, we stopped making Monaghan make decisions. I think we got a wee bit lazy. You've seen it a couple of times, you know, the ball just slipping out of hands, maybe not pressing up in the way that they had been doing. And they kind of slowed the game down. But James, there was two moments and we can be guilty of it in this pod. And I think anyone we'll probably go on the record and say that they pay to watch scores. They pay into games to see big moments like that. But Stephen O'Hanlon gets a hand in on Tomás McCormick and forces a ball into Rory Began's hands at one stage in the second half. A brilliant defensive intervention. And Darren McMullen, who didn't have his shooting boots on today, got his paw on a ball right at the end with about 15 seconds to go when I think any Monaghan man on the field would have kicked the score to win it if they got the ball in their hands. You remember that late, late intervention?
Yeah.
And I think when you think of Armagh blocks and interceptions over the years, Joe McElroy and Paul Conroy in the All-Ireland final was obviously huge. But I think Darren McMullen's at the very end there of normal time was massive when Monaghan were trying to break.
Yeah, 100%. And that's interesting that McGeaney said that he thought they were a little bit lazy maybe. And was it in attack or defence? But either way, those sort of interventions, especially by forwards coming back and doing that work, it's inspirational. It is. It's leadership. It, like, obviously you're leaving three up, but the rest of the fellas have to come back and do all that work. And it's so important, especially in Ulster. But one thing I did notice, and just when you said about the pressing up, it was something I was thinking of, was when Monaghan attacks slowly, especially when Monaghan were holding the ball late in the game, trying to work a score, work a one-pointer or a two-pointer, which they're brilliant at because of these clutch players. But the point in particular was the one where McCarron puts the ball on his toe for 10 or 15 seconds. And Stephen O'Hanlon ends up taking on one of the Armagh midfielders and kicking a great score. But Monaghan went over and back numerous times, and Armagh didn't get in their face at all or didn't upset them. And if you think about the type of day it was nervy. It was soaking wet. The ball was slippy. Armagh's fellas, if you look at them, they're big, strong, fit, athletic players. You'd think that they'd be more in their face. And I thought that that's an element where they slackened off with, was they didn't get up into them enough, didn't press up on Monaghan at all. And it kind of played into Monaghan's ability to score those clutch points. So that might be something that Armagh have to look at, because if you give other teams that much time and space on the slow attacks, they'll do a lot of damage as well.
Yeah, it's a good point. What were the positives for Armagh today? Because they were very good for a lot of this game.
Armagh are a base level 7.5 out of 10. Even Armagh on a bad day aren't going to go much below that. They played a very consistent high level. In terms of positives, you'd have to say attacking wise, came out with 228 without even, you know, putting on the afterburners. Turbot comes out with 5, Connolly 6, Murn and McConville chipped in with his freeze. Jarley Og was actually quiet, but he kicked 3 in the first half. And then Oisín O'Neill comes off the bench to play well. But like,
yeah,
they're just a unit. They're just a solid unit. The only team I can see them really struggling with, and it was the same as last year, I'd fancy them against the Donegal nearly, but against a Kerry who might open up with a bit of that kick passing, that's the only team I could see troubling him. Apart from that, I think that Armagh are in a phenomenally good place. And winning this Ulster will only kick them on further, I think.
Yeah, that's... I think that's true. I think that's all very true. We've seen them compete with Donegal. We've maybe seen what Kerry did under the new rules last year in the All-Ireland quarterfinal. Do you know what? That's a matchup I'd love to see again, a Kerry-Armagh All-Ireland quarterfinal. Yeah. I'm not sure where we see that unless Donegal can beat Kerry in the All-Ireland quarterfinal. But there's so much football to happen between then and now. We're seeing so many comebacks, so many big counties taken down, so many shock results. Ah, it's great.
Can you see, like from today, obviously you were there, in those Ulster Championship matches, you don't get that much of a feel for them at home. You don't. I know for a fact that... No, you do to an extent, but I know for a fact that was an occasion today that doesn't really reflect on TV as much. So, like, from your point of view, could you see Monaghan going on and having, you know, a good summer after this from what you saw today?
No. No. I think...
Really?
I think they'll struggle to bounce back after today. Yeah.
Jesus,
I think
it's rootless.
Yeah, I think there's bodies there that are they're struggling with bodies. I think what they've done, what they've illustrated in the last two games, is the potential that's there if they can get the right players on the field. But Monaghan don't have the depth that an Armagh have developed, or a Donegal or a Kerry have developed. And I think there's just too many injuries at the minute that's catching up with them. But the quality is there. And I think Division 2 next year won't be the worst thing in the world. They've had a very good under-20s team again that fell short to Tyrone in the Ulster final. But they have to develop more players. And I think today would have been an Ulster title. And I think that might have been the peak of their year if they got the job done. I think the Mayo game, I think both sides of the coin, Mayo and Monaghan, there's going to be huge pressure on the two of them. And whoever can come out of that will actually have the chance to have a decent summer. But I think today was Monaghan's peak. I could be wrong, and I don't mean it as a slight in them. We saw how much they struggled in Division 1. We know the magic that's in their boots. Like, we saw it with McCarron and with Began and O'Hanlon and McCarthy over the last couple of weeks. But, like, Stephen O'Hanlon came out with the calf socks on today. I don't know if you ever worn them.
Yeah, yeah, you know, the red ones.
But the orange, the red ones, do you know... Like, Desi Ward went off with a crutch after the game. Like, McCarron is there for the clutch moments. Conor McCarthy has struggled all year long from the club season with injuries and a groin problem.
Yeah, but like, they're there Ryan now. McInnes they're there now, back. Tom. They're
I
there
know,
now.
I know, but...
And like Ryan McInnesby
for a provincial final, but it's a big onslaught now, James, to win an All-Ireland. Like, you need to win four or five big games.
I know. Well, winning an All-Ireland, I mean, I'm not saying that. I'm just thinking, like, get back into Croke Park and see, can you rattle someone in a quarter? But McInnesby, I've actually been in his position a couple of times. He's been out for a long time. He looked rusty today, but I guarantee the next week, with today under his belt, he'll be a different player. He'll give them so much, and he'll be fresh, he'll be enthusiastic, he'll be wanting to prove himself all over again. Like, even one or two players like that coming back makes a huge difference. There was even times today, pure rustiness, where he got the ball and I think he was expecting contact and it didn't come. And then when he kind of looked up, then the contact came. Do you know, like, it was only funny because I've been in that situation so many times where you just feel a little bit rusty, but it'll be gone for next week. I think that they'll give Mayo a seriously good game.
I agree.
And I actually can't call that game. I couldn't give you a winner.
Yeah, well, it's going to be home here in Clonus as well. So, and, you know, the Mayo management, as Kieran McGeaney was saying afterwards, he feels it's horseshit that the draw was made and that there was an advantage given to teams that they could see who they'd be playing in the next round. And those couple of weeks were there. So I don't know if that'll change in the years to come. But I think it probably creates that bit of separation with the All-Ireland series, but I don't think it devalued the provincial championships. And I say that as somebody who probably thinks that there has to be a bit of a disconnect, but like,
it took the attention off it, Tommy, is what happened. It took the attention off it the week coming up, which people got a bit pissed off with, which is fair enough. But when the actual provincial finals were on, they all delivered, probably better than Munster final, which would have been the one that I would have said should have been the best one.
Yeah, it still had the crowd, and I probably had 15 minutes there where Cork threatened. But yeah, like, it's been a couple of unbelievable weeks, and it's just the provincials that are over. Like, the All-Ireland series hasn't even started yet.
I know. It's going to take off now. We're in for a great summer, because there's no team that you could say is way ahead. There's three or four teams in a cluster, and there's three or four more teams underneath who have suddenly proven that they're an awful lot better than they let on in the league. Again, we're seeing National League results don't matter. They don't matter shit. It's mad. The difference, the game is just two different games, National League and Championship. It's actually been proven time and time again. The difference is stark. If you can get yourself ready for Championship and up for it, it's a different type of player that's ready come Championship, I think.
I mentioned that comment from a former Westmead footballer, a former Leinster winner earlier on. It was Alan Mangan who sent me the message. We mentioned Marooned earlier on. You know who Alan Mangan is, right? Uh-huh. He's the fella who was fucked over the line like a loaf of bread. But what did Alan Mangan do in the Leinster final replay? He bounced back and he kicked five from play that day, and he was the star of the show. Yeah, so sometimes that bit of a grilling can come back. And it was great to see himself and John Kane doing a couple of pieces in the build-up to the game. And we talk about the attention to the game. Like, even Heston's comeback, it kind of added to the self-belief in the Westmead crowd too, I think. That, do you know what? I think we have a chance here. And I have a couple of buddies. One of my good friends from Kinnegad got married at the weekend, Paul McGovern, and his best man, Lawrence Nee, was at the game today. He got married a few weeks back too. And they were buzzing. They were absolutely buzzing for their chance in the sun. And by God, they took it. And it's just, I don't know, it's class. It is class. And it was class to see how much it meant to the Armagh group as well.
Yeah, do you know, I don't want to give the Heslin thing too much, because they've been tipping around for a while the last 18 months, right? They obviously had a couple of phenomenal results this year. They've got to a Leinster final. And you wouldn't want all your credit kind of taken just on the back of that either, do you know?
I don't think it does. Yeah.
I know, but like, they have so many stars in that team. Like, so many. Yeah. And Heslin came in and just slotted in beautifully. Perfectly.
Yes.
They would just bear that one little thing where he probably tried to be a bit unselfish. you know, he's probably missing that route this straight just from lack of action. But like, he slots in there lovely. He'll make them so much better. But I don't want to take any credit away from those West Meathfields who've delivered in this Leinster Championship and just put on a great championship display and played with such gusto. And freedom gusto. And ability.
Yeah. Jinx.
And that's without Luke Loughlin. Like Luke Loughlin is a sensational player. And he's after missing that. You know, you feel sorry for him as well. I'd say when he got injured, he probably would have been a big deflator in the camp.
Of course.
And they might have thought, you know, they were going to be under pressure, but they bounced back.
That is this evening's football pod done and dusted. An hour in the books. We had Paddy on for a little bit. James with us too. I hope you enjoyed it. Glorious day all round for Armagh football fans and Westmeath football fans. Just the second ever Leinster title. Mark McHugh will go down in history alongside Paddy O'Shea as the two managers to have guided the Westmeath footballers to the Delaney Cup. And I think we'll just leave it there on the football pod. The All-Ireland series kicks off next weekend. We've got some absolute beauties to come. We have got Kerry against Donegal to get it all going. Cork against Meath. Galway against Kildare that evening. We have three games in round 2B at the Tailteann Cup on Saturday too. And the fourth All-Ireland qualifier next weekend will be Roscommon against Tyrone in the Hyde on Sunday. The Connacht champions Roscommon. In the Tailteann Cup on Saturday evening, we have got in round 2A, London against Laois. In round 2B, Wicklow against Limerick. And round 2B, Clare against Longford. That's a last chance for the two of them. And then on Sunday, in round 2B, Waterford against Sligo. Round 2A, Fermanagh against Wexford. And round 2A, Antrim against Tipperary. But today is Armagh's day to finally get over the line in the Ulster final, and Westmeath's day. Enjoy it all. We'll talk to you soon on the Football Pod.